you know, people think, okay, you're the CEO, you got employees, da, da, da. Yeah. But I was literally, like, editing pictures. Yes. And, like, why this only got one picture on the site? Like, yes. This need multiple pictures, you know. And I'm going through and adding stuff myself because I'm like, we have to make sure we are not the stopping point. We're not making a customer choose to walk away. You know right. what I mean? I'm like, we got to give the customer every reason to shop from us. Say she calling and
can't come to work. Oh, that's ghetto. It's the fifth, deadline was the first. Oh, that's ghetto. Payroll due again, pockets hurt. Oh, that's ghetto. Good idea, now we buying merch. Oh, that's ghetto. Payment miss. Ooh, the ghetto. Say she quit. Ooh, the ghetto. Late on your rent. Rent is ghetto. New event. Ooh, the ghetto. Invoice in. That ain't ghetto. Money spent. Oh, that's ghetto. Hold on, it's kind of ghetto being a CEO.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ghetto CEO Podcast, because being a CEO is giving very much ghetto. And a lot of times people don't talk about the lows of entrepreneurship. They just want to glamorize it. They want to talk about the G-Wagons. They want to talk about the pearls. They want to talk about the S-Corps and the taxes and all the things. But what about the nights that you be crying, or the weeks that you got to pay payroll? What about all the lows of entrepreneurship, where you actually isolate yourself from the world, where you have to go through personal development? You have to become the best version of yourself just so you can hold this title as CEO. And that's what we talk about on this show. I want you guys to make sure you are like, comment, and subscribing to the Ghetto CEO Podcast, because that's how we know that we're doing a good job. And if you need a community of entrepreneurs that you want to work together, you want to make sure that you have a community to help you grow, a community that you can meet in person and online, then you need to join us in our coworkers community, because we've been waiting on you, sis. What's up? So today is no different. I am bringing another CEO to the couch so we can talk about all of the ghetto story. So welcome to the couch, friend.
Hey girl. I'm so excited to be here.
Girl. Is it giving ghetto?
It's giving very much ghetto. It's fourth quarter ghetto now.
I already know. Girl, you got a lot going on.
Yes.
Fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You just did you're doing a partnership deal.
Yes.
Girl, tell us what's going on.
It's so much going on. Like do I introduce myself? What you want me to do? Let's just jump in.
Okay. We'll circle back around.
It's so much going on. We, like you said, we just launched a partnership. We did a collaboration with That Chick Angel, which went amazing. Well, love her. Yes. It's like Tabitha Brown posted about it. Mm-hmm. It was just great. So it's that, but then it's also like, we got to get ready for Black Friday. Yes. Payroll go out this week, like you said. Girl. Like, all of the things. And then you're, like, spending more on, like, marketing and just influencer. Yes. It's just, it's ghetto.
Yes. Okay, we got to jump into these ghetto CEO stories. But before we do that, we got to let them know who you are. But we don't do regular intros over here at the Ghetto CEO Podcast, The period. You're probably in Forbes and all these other places. You know, they can find that anywhere on the website.
That's right.
But I want you to describe who you are like you are your ex-employee talking to their best friend. What would they say about you and your business?
Ooh, they would say very much ghetto. They would say very much. Okay, if I was an ex-employee,
yes,
I would say, like, she is so creative. She has great ideas. Yes. She is all over the place. She's all over the place.
She's a true creative.
Who mom is great and all, but like, girl, can you lead us correctly? Like, that's what I would probably say.
Okay. I love it. I love it. I love it. Give it up for the transparency, y'all.
Okay.
But I love it. Okay. So Hoop Mob.
Yes.
You have built a infectious brand.
I love that word.
And girl, add it to it. But you build this infectious brand. I think a lot of people are not even realizing you just getting in your era. Like, you really just stepping into it. So talk to us a little bit. You said you got the licensing deal going on, or the partnership deal that you got going on right now. How did that come about? Like, work, because when I met Danielle a couple years ago, this was not.
No.
This is big CEO, big D. Like,
kind of stepped into it. Okay. When we met, I was just getting started. Yes, I was. Yes. It was so funny. We met at AspireCon. Yes. And even from 1 year to the next, the girls were like, last year when you were here, it was like this. And now you like that, you know.
Big D.
No, you know, I'm still just trying to make my way. But, so that came about. We went to Essence Fest this past summer, which was amazing for us. Yes. Like, so many people like discovered the brand, but also like we were getting word from like the Essence employees, like everybody's looking for your booth, like everybody coming and asking for your booth. So like you say, it is an infectious brand, and it's one of those brands where like people like instantly connect, and like now they in the mob. Like everybody say the mob is a perfect name for us, because they literally like ride for us, you know. But at Essence we met Angel, and so we had the little gem I'ma leave people, okay? Yes. We had celebrity bags like prepared before we even went. So if anybody came by, we were like ready. I didn't even know. If I just saw a little commotion, I'm like, give me a bag. I don't know who this is.
But we've been
So I gave her a bag and she was like, oh no, I'm gonna come shop with you. She literally bought up so much stuff.
Oh wow.
And then she was asking, did we do partnerships? And I'm like, yes. And she was like, well, why can't we partner? Because I love hoops and this is all I wear. Hmm. And I'm like, you ain't saying nothing but a word.
Okay, so, but wait. So you said yes to the partnership. Was this your first partnership?
This was the second. So okay, because it's influencer. Me.
We do what you want.
What you
want
to do?
I write it down. Sign right here.
What you want to do? Yes. So we've done one before, but this one was so great because it was very organic. Like she was excited about the brand. Before we had, like, we were trying to get people that we thought, like, had an influence, had an impact and stuff like that. And so for her to want to partner with us as well, it just felt better. Like it was just a seamless process. Even when she came in to shoot the campaign and everything, it was just great. It was great. Aww. And then like half the collection sold out first weekend. So
come on.
Yeah.
Come on. First of all, I'm just like just over here just smiling ear to ear, because I have literally watched the evolution. Like, I just feel like you are really stepping into your bag.
Thank you.
It's giving. We're going to be in Neiman Marcus next year. Like, where are we trying to go?
From your lips to God's ears, honey.
Okay. I love it. Okay, so we got the partnership, but you also said Black Friday's coming up. So for you behind the scenes, what does that even look like? Because I know it's different on the retail side.
Yeah. So for us, that looks like a lot of like preparation. And I'm going to be honest, like for a lot of us, like direct to consumer brands, like you got an online store and stuff like that. Like most of us are doing this for the first time, or like, you know, we don't have too much previous experience with that.
Yeah.
So it's really like, I just want everybody to know, like, don't nobody really got their stuff together. You know what I mean? Like behind the scenes, it's like, all right, we need this amount of inventory to make these sales goals. You know what I mean? We need to make sure it makes sense, make sure we can make campaigns out of it. Like, so for me, that's just really doing a lot of like buying ahead of time. It's spending a lot of money. Let's just say that. Spending a lot of money so you can prepare and hope, you know, that the sales can do what you need them to do for the
you
season.
You know, one thing I think that's the strength of e-commerce brands, because you do have to spend the inventory, because you can only make in what you can see.
Yes.
Like if I don't got inventory, then I can't make the money, right? But I also gotta have enough marketing success.
Okay.
So it's like a happy balance. So speak to like, how have you been able to develop this balance, or are you still trying to develop it?
So we have been able to balance it. And luckily we're able to, like, right away, I got an accountant. Like, right when we started taking off, like, I got an accountant just to make sure, like, we were doing stuff correctly. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I don't want to overspend in this area and then thinking I can hire people and I actually can't, you know. Right. So, we've done that. And then with marketing, I think because I am creative and I feel like I have an eye for, like, what works. And just, like, watching the industry, watching social media and seeing, like, okay, you got to at least make sure your stuff is crispy. You know what I mean? Before you invest money into ads. Like, to put money behind trash creative
is crazy.
It's crazy. So, I at least want to make sure that, like, the visuals are on point and stuff like that. And then we started investing in like Facebook, Instagram ads pretty early. So,
So a lot of your success also goes with, like you said, this community building, like building the mob. Yeah. Okay. So what did that process look like? How did you build the mob?
Ironically, so I think everybody, when they're building a brand, they want it so cute, you know, you want your cute aesthetic Instagram, you know, you want your website, your brand colors, all of that. And I was doing that and it was like getting a little traction, you know what I mean? Cause people like, oh, hoops, I like hoops, whatever. But then when I went to Facebook, I feel like Facebook is a little less cute, you know, it's a little bit more like your aunties them on there, you know, all of that. So, but when I started to really promote on Facebook, that's when people were like able to share the links and, and like they were commenting like, I didn't know you was even doing this. You know what I mean? Because I feel like you think people see your content and they don't, you know what I mean? So like, the more I was like, okay, I'm going to stop having pride about like, I don't want to post too much. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And just start going for it. Because I'm like, girl, I got to make some money. You know?
Right, right.
That's when it took off. And Facebook really was kind of like a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. And then once people start catching on Facebook, I built a Facebook group. And somebody asked me before, how did I build a Facebook group? And I'm like, it was open first. So we were just like adding people to the group. Like, hey, girl, come on in here. You know?
Black? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Look like you like hoops. Come on in here. So, and then people were naturally like adding people themselves, like adding their friends and inviting people to join the group. And it's nice to have a Facebook group. I feel like a lot of people do have it, but it's a slept on like resource, because if you have a group based just towards your brand, it's like you could talk directly to these people about your brand solely, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, and they're like sharing feedback, like with our collection with Angel, people are already getting their shipments, and then they're sharing like, if y'all was worried about the bracelet price, like it's worth it. Mm. Go ahead and get it. Like the quality, da da da. And that doesn't do, that's just like social proof, basically, you know what I mean? Yeah. And now somebody else is influenced to purchase that thing, so.
So if you could pick anybody that you could do a partnership with, who would you pick?
Sweetie.
Ooh.
Sweetie, a hoop girl.
Girl, you can make that. That's,
I feel like.
That's next year is Sweetie.
Come on, girl.
We're going to launch this on the Ghetto CEO podcast. And we're going to have the hoop mob campaign. Yeah. We're going to have some hoopsters.
Come on. Let's do it.
No, I think that's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's been a part of her brand. So I feel like it's a natural, you know, connection.
No, I could definitely see that. The icy. Ooh.
Yeah. Icy mobs.
Come on. Icy mobs. I can see it. I love that. Okay, so this is a lot going on. You also a mom, you know what I'm saying? You got real life stuff happening, okay? Yes. And your daughter is not, she is that girl, okay?
She's a diva,
okay? So she is going to get your attention.
Yeah.
Baby, when we was at AspireCon, she was like, I'm ready to swim.
Yeah. She had her little gear on, honey.
Ready, floaties on.
Glasses, all
come
of that.
Come on, I'm ready to swim. Mom.
Come on, I'm ready to swim. Yeah, she is so cute. And she still talk about that. Remember when we went to Mexico?
Yeah,
I'm
like, serious.
Girl.
Okay. Living the life of luxury. Okay, take me out the country more, mom. That's what she's saying. You're too busy. I need to get another passport stamp.
Exactly.
I love that. So, but how are you? I don't want to say balancing, because I don't feel like we balance anything, child.
Yeah.
We balance it default. But like prioritizing all of it at one time, especially in this season.
Yeah. So it's funny you ask that, because like last week and a half ago, I literally called my mama crying, like, this is too much, I can't do it. And she was like, no, I'm gonna step in on a weekly basis. So then we built a schedule of like, all right, you take her one day a week. Mm-hmm. And her dad is really involved, but it really just took for me to like accept my village, you know what I mean? And like, not saying like, oh, I don't want to ask too much and all that, but like, you know, me and her dad are not together. So it's still like one parent in the house at a time. That's a lot on somebody when you got to like work and run a business and all of that. So I really just accepted the help from my village and like, it's better for her. She can go over here, get spoiled, go over here, go spoiled, get spoiled, all of that.
She's taking full advantage.
Exactly.
Okay. But you know, I think a lot of moms also have mom guilt, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So how did you deal with that as you were building this business to say like, I'm doing this for you, and yeah. I love you, and right. this is why I'm pouring this energy into this business.
Yes. Well, so I am one of those people who can shut it down. Like, I'm not like an around the clock entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So,
now, girl, teach me.
Okay, teach listen. Me on the weekend, I ain't nobody entrepreneur. Okay, I am off. but so, like at night, like I do like to shut it down as much as I can by like 5 p.m. Okay. You know what I mean? To where I'm making her dinner and like just giving her a little bit more time. So I think that's helped into where she still is like, you don't play with me enough. I'm like, girl.
Not the good. Then, no, the mom alone. Guilt is coming from the kids.
It's coming from the kids. But I do think, like, I don't know. I just kind of let it go and realize, like, I can't be everything for her. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, her dad will come get her, and they're going to, like, the zoo and doing that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm fine with my role of, like, I'm going to keep this going. I'm going to make sure you have your homework done, make sure this, make sure that.
Yeah.
And, like, if he's a fun parent, it's like radical acceptance. Yeah. Like, I accept that.
Yes.
So, you know, it's
yes.
fine. Somebody else got to, you
Somebody
know.
Somebody got to do it. Yeah. Somebody got to play the role.
Exactly.
Now, I understand. But I love that. I think, like I said, you're not necessarily doing this. This ain't for me.
Yeah, no. It's literally for my family. Like, my business is like a family business.
So talk about that. A lot of your people that work with you are your family?
Oh, yeah. My mom was my first full-time hire.
Okay.
First, like, W-2 employee.
Wow.
My aunt works for me. Okay. My sister works with the company. And then everyone else really kind of came, like, through friendships and stuff like that. I feel like I'm able to, like, look at people's personality and kind of draw out their strengths, whether they've done it or not.
Yeah.
Whether they have experience in that thing or not. So I'm like, you know what? You pay attention to detail. Like, I feel like you could do this, you know, or like you're really thorough. I think you can do X, Y, and Z, you know? So yeah, a lot of my people work for who.
What do you feel like are some of the cons of that? Cause I'm that girl, right? I'd be like, you folded them programs so well. I really think you could be a manufacturer. Like, I really think you could do this. Right.
Right, right.
But like, I am the type of person, and I've always had this, where I see people's potential before they do. And then you have to wait on them to fully realize their potential so they can step into their potential, because they be fighting it all the way, right? So what do you feel like are some of the cons of that? Like, okay, girl, like, I really want, because, you know, you're I'm comfortable with my family. I trust y'all.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, if I had to tell you, you getting on my nerves, I can tell you getting on my nerves.
Absolutely.
But, like, is there any cons that come with it?
Well, I think sometimes, for example, like friendships or something like that, like if I see something in people, you kind of just have to accept. If they don't see it, like there's only so much pushing you can do and like suggesting and encouraging before you like drive yourself crazy trying to, you know, help them. So, yeah, I feel like there's no real cons to it unless they are just dead set on not like seeing it in themselves. And sometimes people have like deep-rooted like traumas and stuff to where they have a hard time like seeing themselves in a positive light like that. So it's almost like you have to like do as much as you can without driving yourself crazy, you know.
I love that. What, when you see the vision of Hoop Mob in 10 years, paint that vision for us. What does that look like?
Okay, so
check it.
No, but I see retail stores in our future, like our own standalone retail stores, but I also see us in, you know, like kind of big box stores and stuff like that. I feel like there's a lot of room in the market for like accessories, especially towards Black women.
Yes.
And I just feel like, so a lot of people, you know, business people, people always like say that, okay, so what sets you apart? You know, and I do feel like it's one, like we have trendy and affordable and quality jewelry, but also it's most times you are not expecting like great customer service from Black owned brands, unfortunately. You know what I mean? I feel like people, like we don't get the benefit of the doubt. You know
Absolutely
what I mean?
Not.
Like everybody's want to write you off the first time that they have a bad experience. So we are really, really big on like customer service and like making sure people have a good experience with us. So I feel like that alone kind of opens up the door for us to like serve the market in a bigger way.
You know, I would be really interested to study the history of Claire's because I can see like Hoop Mob. You know how, like, when we was younger, it was like, Mama, take me to Claire's to get my ears pierced. Take me to Claire's to get my hoops. Take me. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
That's so funny you said that.
I literally could see that. Like, I could see, like, Hoop Mob being the it place to go get they my
need,
first
We need
hoops.
A quality adult version of that. Yes. And that's what I see for Hoop Mob.
It feels good. I just see walking into the store. It's just like,
you feel the vibe.
Rap music playing. We like,
it smells good.
Yeah, it smells good. Like, it's a vibe. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
like hoops today.
That's so funny. Yes.
No, I love it. And I think that I think it's important for us to have a vision and know, you know what I'm saying? Especially as you are building like the culture and the community, they also need to buy into what's going on. Absolutely. So they can remind you because it gets ghetto. And they need to be able to be like, Zion, our store.
Yeah.
Our store.
Our store. No, let me tell you, because when Tabitha Brown posted us, when anything big happens for the brand, our customers, I can tell it feels like a win for them too, you know, because they've been rocking with us since the beginning. Like when I first, the first year of Hoop Mob, I was living in Flint still, and I would let people order, and then on Thursdays, I would pull up to this parking lot, and, like, you could pick up your order if you don't want to ship, you know? Yeah. So some customers are still like, I remember when I was getting it out the trunk. Like, so they love to see, like, the come up of the brand, and I feel like it feels like a win for them. So the bigger we grow, it's, like, for the community. You know what I mean?
I love that. I love that. Okay, so we have a segment on the show that we have, y'all, called Let's Vent. Okay, because as entrepreneurs, nobody asks us how we doing. Nobody be like, okay, Tanyelle, thank you. You know, like, it is a thankless job. Often, like, parenting sometimes, right?
Yes.
But so, what has happened in the last week or so that you feel like, I need to vent about this? Like, I need to get this off of my chest.
I'm going to be honest. So, sales, so, no, what nobody really talks about is that in retail, through the summer, sales dip. You know what I mean? So it's almost like panic mode. You know what I mean? Because if you're not prepared, we've only been in business for 4 years. You know what I mean? So we are like gathering data and like learning those trends from this little bit of time that we've been in business. You know
what
I mean?
And a little bit of it is skewed. Because during the pandemic, it was a little quiet.
Okay. It was like cushy in the pandemic. Like, so we are like, during this last week, I feel like I have single-handedly, like, combed through the data, combed through the site. So, you know, people think, okay, you're the CEO, you got employees, but I was literally, like, editing pictures and, like, why this only got one picture on the site? Like, this need multiple pictures, you know, and I'm going through and adding stuff myself because I'm like, we have to make sure we are not the stopping point. We're not making a customer choose to walk away. You know what I mean? I'm like, we got to give the customer every reason to shop from us. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I got to do it. Like sometimes I think what people don't understand is like, yes, you have great employees and I have a great team. Like anything that I'm like, they can tell, cause I'm not, I don't have a temper. I'm not the one that's like yelling at people and stuff like that. So anytime I do get
I couldn't even imagine you mad. No, like that.
You know? So when I do get frustrated, they like, oh shit. No, right, we're in trouble. And I don't even, you know, it's just like, okay, we need to do X, Y, and Z, but I'm never like yelling at them. So, but they are, they catch on really fast and make those changes and pivots, which I like because we're small. But sometimes you have to be the one to, like, light that fire, get in the trenches. Like, when we were at Essence, so many people were in our booth like, so who's the owner? And it's like, me, taking your order. Okay, come on, what you want? You know, and they're like, that's you the owner? I'm like, yeah, I got to work. You know what I mean? And then you learn so much when you are in it. You know what I mean? I feel like I tried to take a step back. I'm like, I got these employees. I'm going to just chill. And it's like, you can't really do that.
Girl.
No.
Somebody needs to say it.
You can't.
Because
really.
The moment that you take a step back, everything just starts to kind of, and I'm not going to say they can't maintain the business.
Right.
But I think that employees have a purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Employees are here to maintain the business, but you have to grow the business.
Right.
So if you are gone, the growth stops. Ooh, we are literally at a standstill, a plateau.
Come on,
right? So I gotta come back. Much as I feel like I deserve a vacation.
Yeah.
But no, you gotta continue to grow the business.
You gotta grow the business. And I feel like now I'm gonna get a little woo-woo. Yes. I feel like it's energy. Yes. And the energy comes from the top down. You know what I mean? So if they feel like you lax, if they feel like you ain't really invested or you like took a step back, you chilling, then they gonna chill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you like, all right, nah, we got to make some things shake. They like, all right, what we need to do?
You know, I think that is so true. And I think a lot of times people think of the employee hiring process of like, okay, I'm gonna hire these people and then I ain't gotta do what I need to do. But your energy has to. Now you actually become the coach. Like if you think about how coaches are on the sidelines, even with players like LeBron and all these people, I could have the best players out here, but I gotta have the plays. Yes. I gotta be able to have the energy.
Yeah.
You see the coaches throwing their tablets down. Like they are invested in the game too.
Yeah.
Like they don't be on the seats like y'all just
chilling.
You know, do what y'all
going
need
to the concession stand.
Right. They like drinking. Like that's not what they doing. They 100% focused and looking at the game, but they looking at it from a different vantage point. I don't gotta be out there running the plays no more.
Right.
But I gotta be able to see what's going on. And literally, my team, what Mia always tell me all the time, she be like, I have my energy and I go hard because I know you go hard. Like, you don't give up. You're relentless, you know? And I think that you have to show that to your team.
Yep, that is exactly what I learned. Like I said, I was trying to have a little like, okay, we good. And it's like, nah, girl, that could change in a moment.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, like, really getting in there and staying in there, you know, unless you're going to hire another CEO, you know. But for now, like, and it's fun to, like, see how much you can, like, squeeze out of a business and how which direction you could take it and, like, how much you can grow. So
I love that. And even going back to that, because I think a lot of people, when we think about entrepreneurship, especially, because I really hate this rhetoric, y'all, like, this whole these pandemic businesses or these businesses that were developing a pandemic or whatever, because our businesses switched. I've been in business for 10 years, but we switched at the top of 2020. And so we did get great residuals from the year. But I would like to say that that don't alleviate us working hard.
No.
That did not alleviate the hard work. And now we probably more confused now than the people that did start in 2016 or 2015, because we are looking at the data and it's like, I really don't know what direction to go because that data is skewed.
But also, like, so many people didn't do anything in 2020, okay?
Okay,
so
it was raining and you didn't get wet.
Okay, so
where was your raincoat, baby?
Okay. But yeah, I do think that I've heard that a lot, like, oh, you know, it was 2020, so that's why. And it's like, no,
it's
you
something
still had
here
to have a good business.
Yes,
you know what I mean? People weren't just giving money to anybody.
Right, right.
So, and like you said, now you're really having to figure out, like, once coming out of the pandemic, I do feel like coming out of the pandemic, you learned kind of who was really about it, you know what I mean?
Period.
Like, if you can keep going, if you can sustain that, if you can really build a business and, like, keep it growing.
Yeah.
But it is not easy.
No, it's ghetto.
Yes.
It is far from easy, but I think that this is where the playmakers are made. You know what I mean? Like, this is where the people that's really going to rise to the top, the cream of the crop that's going to be here 10 years from now, because you are able to withstand the highs and the lows, right?
Exactly.
And so I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, if I could figure out how to navigate in a low season, and now my mindset is like, all right, well, how do I baseline my business off of this season versus the last season? So when we have that season, I'm already here. You know what I'm saying?
My expenses
are here. My, like, everything is where it needs to be. And so I think a lot of entrepreneurs just don't talk about the lows of entrepreneurship. What do you feel like? How have you dealt with the highs and lows and transitioning sales, team, like all of that? What is the, how has that been for you? Especially the sales of this year, because it's just been a little ghetto.
Yeah, this year has been ghetto because, so for Hoop Mob, we went from, in year two, we went from 325,000 to year 3, like 1.3. Mm. So we're, you know, I'm expecting to keep growing like that. Next year we're doing 5. And it's like
going up.
Wait a minute. It's like, you know, that takes a lot of work, you know. Yeah. So the lows is just kind of accepting like, okay, I don't want to, because I don't like to be, like I said, a chaotic boss. Like, yeah. I don't like to, like, put everybody in panic.
Yeah.
So I really had to, we had goals last year that I had to scale back. Because I'm like, even for morale, you know what I mean? It's like, if our goal is 3 and we're like hovering at 1.5 and it's just not seeming like we're going to get there, everybody feels terrible. You know what I mean? So it's like, all right, here's a new goal.
Yeah.
It's still amazing. We're still doing great. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing to complain about. So let's like level set and like, you know, recalibrate and figure out how we get there next time. You know what I mean? Or figure out like, all right, what do we need to invest or what changes need to be made for that time? So I do a lot of self-reflection, a lot of therapy. Yes. It was really hard.
If you're over here on YouTube watching the podcast, listen, I need you to do me a favor. If you love me, do me this favor. Pull out your phone right now and go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts or anywhere that you actually listen to podcasts at, right? I need you to subscribe and leave a review. Listen, the way podcasts work is the streets don't know we doing good if it's not on the audio version. The YouTube version don't really count, okay? So go over there, leave us a review, and let us know how much you love the podcast. Now back to the episode.
Hard for me to, I posted this one time. It was hard for me to grow into leadership in front of my team. You know what I mean? Because like, this is my first time doing this. You know what I mean? So for me to be to have to say like, you know what, y'all? I'm sorry for this and that. You know, here's how we're going to move forward or whatever. Or like knowing that something I did is slowing them down. Yeah. Or I'm the bottleneck. You know what I mean? Like a lot of that.
I be like, stop sending me stuff. Yeah. Y'all don't say, listen, this is a public service announcement. If you want it done, send it to Mia because I'm the bottleneck. Okay.
I am the person stopping the show. Yes. It will never get seen. It'll never get done. Okay.
Yes.
So just learning that, I brought on Simone. Shout out to Simone. Like, so I am creative. I can see how we grow, and she knows how, like, basically a project manager. She knows how to put it together. She's scheduling the meetings like, okay, so this is what we're gonna have to do. Here's the timeline of this, here's that and that. And I'm like, wow.
Yes.
I would never have done that.
Love that for me.
All of this would have been done 3 days before it was due.
Yes,
if it was up to me, you know. Yes. I would have been up all night trying to figure it out, you know. Right. So really just like figuring out my faults and where I'm not strong at, and seeing where I am strong at, and then still like pushing my team in more creative ways and like letting them know. So like I said, in the summer when sales would dip or something like that, I'm like, hey, this can't all be on me to make this happen.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'll be there like, all right, like nobody cared enough to say like, maybe we should make something else happen because sales are dipping. You know what I mean? So but that has been hard to like grow in front of them. We're all growing together. You know what I mean? But
in addition to that, an added layer of this is your family. So it's like they also are seeing you become this woman. They were probably keeping you as a baby. You know what I mean? Like, so you are also just becoming this boss in front of them. And so it's a beautiful thing to watch. But I'm loving this. This was, and one thing that you said before we go, of being able to also, y'all, like, you don't have to have the burden of your sales going down by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you gotta say, team, hey, this is what's really going on. Like, we need to make $15,000. And if your team not looking at you and saying, hey, we need to do A, B, C, D, then that's not your squad.
Yeah, yeah. Because they will. They, like, my mom, she don't play this. The Hoop Mob, I'm her daughter, and Hoop Mob is her daughter, okay? Yeah, so she's like, hey, we need to get rid of these samples. We need to do X, Y, and Z. Like, they will come in and say, like, hey, what about this? We can pair these together, put this on sale, something like that. So I do really appreciate it, but I had to let it be known. Yes. I had to tell them, like,
because we be trying to take it all in. We be like, okay, yeah, I'll fix it.
I'm like, we don't have investors.
Period.
These sales, how we get paid.
Okay.
Okay, like, we got to make some shape. Yes, so, yeah.
I love it. Well, this has been a very good episode. So before we go, what would you say to the people that's like, man, first of all, I love Hoop Mob. I love the brand. I love what she's building. I see the vision. I also want my business to be where that where she is, but I'm a little discouraged right now. I feel like it's being a lot of ghetto.
Yeah.
What would you say to that young lady or man?
I would say really it takes a lot. It's like a lot of spiritual work and like inner work. Like pray. I hate to say it. Like, I know you don't want to hear that, but you really have to like build yourself up and like get over the negative self-talk.
Yeah.
So like you said, that discouragement, it's like, that's always going to be there, but you have to, like, make sure. Today, I left my makeup case in Michigan.
Yes.
And I was like, we on the way to CVS.
Right.
I'm going to make something shake. You always have to make something shake.
Yes, figure it
and
out.
And I feel like there's no such thing as security. Like, with a job, with anything, like, you are your security. So if you don't believe in yourself, if you can't push yourself, like, that's some work that needs to be done on the inside. But it's, you know, dreams do come true, okay?
Dreams do come true. And I can't wait till I get to walk into the store, in the Hoop Mob store. We're going to have our Ghetto CEO section. We're going to have a little
Ghetto CEO earring. Okay.
I'm excited. But, y'all, I hope you guys have thoroughly enjoyed hearing from my girl and hearing about the highs and the lows of entrepreneurship, because, y'all, we come to the couch and this space is a space for entrepreneurs to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But they are being vulnerable and telling the truth behind business for you to encourage you to keep going. So I need y'all to stop playing. Stop playing with your priorities. Stop playing with your purpose and getting your bag, okay? Because this season is about you taking it to the next level. So I can't wait to see you on the next episode of the Ghetto CEO Podcast. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. And join us in the Coworkers community.